desire your prayers tonight. Just because I'm a minister doesn't mean I'm in a comfortable position up here. I do desire your prayers. I appreciate the song that they just got through singing. You know, the devil's here tonight too, to fight us. But as they were singing, he's going to lose.
Yes.
And that's only because of the grace of God and the power of Jesus Christ living in us and when we call upon his name. And I have a burden. I don't know how to say this. It's gone several different directions as I prayed about it and studied about it. But I believe the devil's even battled this thought tonight. And ironically, that's part of the title. So I'm going to write the title on the board. There's a marker. So I have written on the board, Battle of the Mind. And with the Lord's help, I want to expose the devil tonight.
Yes.
And this is actually a message for all of us, saved and unsaved, sanctified. It doesn't matter how long we've been serving for the Lord or how long we've been running from the Lord. We all need this tonight because, quite frankly, we all battle in our minds.
Yes.
And I'm not just talking, there's a side of just the psychological part of it. And that this includes part of that, but it's the spiritual warfare that we're dealing with here tonight. And it's the battle of the spiritual mind because God has called us, it's a high calling to be a Christian. And Satan knows all he has to do is plant some seeds of doubt or confusion or discontentment, whatever it is. And he'll sit back and he'll wait for days or weeks or months or years for the perfect opportunity to then tempt you along that line. You see how this works? It's not something where, and for most of us here this evening, I doubt any of us would be tempted to go out and murder someone tonight. But you know what Satan would do? He might tempt us in our minds, plant some little thoughts about maybe some attitudes or some discontentment or some disbelief. Some seeds of doubt, whatever it may be. So, I want to focus just a little bit on the mind itself. Our minds are amazing. The mind is unbelievably powerful. But you know, it's also a very vulnerable part of our being. You realize, I could stand up here tonight and talk about different things to maybe persuade you and convince you to like or dislike certain things and maybe give some demonstrations for that. And maybe by the time you leave, I have you thinking like me, possibly. But again, our minds, we're vulnerable.
Yes.
But I want to talk about the power of the mind first so we can understand how the battle of the mind works. So on a technical level, the human brain is comparable to... They actually have some supercomputers out there now that cost millions of dollars. And you can compare the human brain to one of these supercomputers. Again, that cost millions of dollars to operate. But the amazing thing is these supercomputers are not efficient. And just to give you an example, one of these supercomputers that cost millions of dollars to run and operate, they could generate enough electricity to power 10,000 houses. So let that sink in just a little bit. That's a lot of power. That's a massive computer. That's a real supercomputer, okay? But yet, the human brain is more powerful than that. And it only generates enough electricity to power a light bulb. That's amazing efficiency. All right. Any electricians here tonight, you understand what I'm talking about. They understand that that's just, and who could do that? God.
Yeah.
God created. It's an amazing, our minds are amazing. And see, here's the problem. God knows that our minds are so powerful, He wants to use our minds for His glory and for His benefit to spread the kingdom of God. But on the other hand, this is where the battle of the mind lays. We have Satan on the other side trying to take control of our mind, even if it's just a little bit, a little tiny piece at a time, planting little seeds here and there, hoping to eventually train us. And we'll get to that part a little later about training our mind to follow Him, okay? Because it's not going to happen overnight. Like I mentioned, most of us aren't going to be tempted to go out and commit some terrible crime that we would land in prison tonight. Most of us, okay? But Satan knows that he can get us, given some more time, and given him a little window of opportunity, okay? So, we talked about the power of the mind and how God created it. It's amazing. But here's another amazing fact about our minds. Another reason the human brain and mind is so powerful is because it can be trained. Okay? Now think about this a little bit. The supercomputer, it's just, you know, it's good information in, good information, or bad information, or I'm sorry. It can be whatever you program it. That's what you're going to get, all right? Bad information in, bad information out. Good information in, good information out, okay? But the human mind can actually manipulate things in the middle of its processing and can stop in the middle of it and start rerouting through the little neurons and transmitters in our brain. It's amazing what your mind can do. You can be right in the middle of something and totally change course and say, nope, not going to do that. I'm going to do this. But a supercomputer just continues on exactly how it's programmed until it crashes or it finishes the job. But we have the capability, through the power of God that He put in us, the ability to change our minds and to be influenced. We may be influenced by Satan over here. We might be in the middle of beginning to commit a crime or an act that would be grievous to God. Yet God can speak to us, convict us and say, child, no, 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 no. And we can change our minds and say, okay, Lord, I want to listen to that voice, and we train ourselves to listen to His voice, all right? So, now I want to speak just a little bit about the vulnerability of our minds. Have you ever had a time where, I've done this recently, different times. So, I'm trying to type something on my phone or at the keyboard at my computer, and I'm in a conversation with someone else at the same time. Or I may be listening to a song in one earbud over here or something. And as I'm trying to type, I actually start typing what I'm singing or talking and not what I'm really supposed to be writing. And sometimes, thankfully, most of the time, I can catch myself before I hit send. I'm like, whoa, wait. No, that's not right. Let me redo this. But the fact of the matter is, our mind is vulnerable because some of us, well, we'll just be honest. Some of us can do two or three things at once, and some of us can't. I'll let you figure out who can do that or not. But here's another one. So have you ever taken, say, you're in a conversation with someone, and you're sitting down, maybe at the dinner table or in your easy chair, and you're drinking, say, a cup of milk. All right, so you're drinking milk. And conversation comes up about your favorite breakfast foods. So you're talking about breakfast foods and, oh yeah, and so some love to drink milk with their breakfast, some hot chocolate, some orange juice. And so you're sitting there with this glass of milk and you're drinking milk. And then someone starts on a rant about orange juice. Oh, it's the greatest stuff. And oh yeah, I like orange juice too. And you're talking about orange juice and you take a drink of the milk. Whoa. It's like, that tasted weird. Because you're thinking about orange juice. All right? You're drinking milk. That fact is a fact. You're not changing. You're drinking milk. But yet you're thinking about orange juice, and that milk tasted terrible. You're like, well, let me let that rest a little bit. I'll come back to it. But it's funny how the mind can work that way. But it's almost like you temporarily trained your mind to be thinking about orange juice, okay, instead of milk. And then you had to kind of bring it back to reality again. Okay? So now I want to take this to another level. Just recently, I was driving home and from Carthage, and was driving through a little town, Diamond. And on the north edge of town, I came across a spot on the side of the road. And as I looked to the area to my left, which is the east side of the road, I noticed a large dark patch, a black patch of grassy area on the side of the road, the ditch and kind of out in the field just a little bit. And it was probably 40 feet wide by 60 feet long or whatever, maybe a little smaller. Anyway, as I drove by, I looked at that dark patch and I'm thinking, wow, they must have just had a little fire there this afternoon. It wasn't there this morning. And that was the immediate thought that came to my mind as I'm cruising by. But in the back of my mind, there was something in that that didn't quite look 100% normal to a burnout spot. And it's amazing how your mind works, because this is happening in milliseconds as I'm driving by about 45 mile an hour in this area. And just as I pass that area, I see something in my mirror behind me into my right side, and I glance back. And you know what I saw? I saw a water tower, a big tall water tower on the other side of the road. And then it dawned on me, the sun was on that side, the water tower's here, I'm driving here. What I saw was a shadow of the water tower. That's all it was. And in just those few milliseconds, I realized, I'm like, that was just a water tower. What was I thinking? Really? I mean, I'm like, why did I think it was a burn? And then it dawned, was like, oh, well, of course it wasn't a burned out area, because the grass was still there. That's what wasn't really matching up. The grass was still there, but it was a darker area. So I'm like, oh yeah, that was the shadow. Silly guy. What was I thinking? But you know what? As I continued to drive, I'm like, why did I think that was a burned out spot? Well, why did that instantly come to my mind? You know why? Because about 5 minutes prior to that, I just got off the phone with someone, and guess what we were talking about? It was a really windy day, and we talked about the fire ban that they just put out for that day. It's been super dry around here, and they just put out a fire ban, and we were just talking about how just a simple, a tiny little spark or a flame could spread like true wildfire around here, even though we don't have terrible forests like they do out west, but yet it would spread like, literally spread like wildfire with 25, 35 mile an hour gusts, just constant. And that is why I immediately thought that was a burned out patch. It was just because it was on my mind just a few minutes prior to that. You see, I trained my mind to be aware of anything that looked like it was burnt or a fire or a flame. And you know, the other thing I noticed is, everywhere I drove, I've been driving this last week, anytime I see a little plume of smoke or I step outside of a building and I smell smoke, I'm like, phew. I mean, I'm looking around and I've found a few, you know, and of course they've already, the firemen are there putting them out and so on and so forth. But the point is, I had trained my mind to think that that was a burned out spot. And it wasn't. You see, for just a few milliseconds, I was fooled. Okay? So this is where, and this is all just in a literal sense, but do you understand, dear ones, how this can apply to our spiritual mind? How this can apply to everyday living, trying to live our lives for the Lord? And the devil will present thoughts here, and he'll present thoughts there, and he'll put little seed thoughts over here. And then we're going along through life, endeavoring to serve the Lord and please the Lord, and then all of a sudden, it triggers something, and we think, oh, it's got to be this, or it's got to be that. Oh, Lord, help us that we stop and consider. Especially before we take, you know, some extreme action that maybe isn't necessary, or whatever the case is. But I want to emphasize again, in this incident, it was, the ending was innocent. There was no damage, no harm was done, and the thoughts just came and went. And I proceeded on. Of course, I told my wife about it when I got home, just kind of chuckling to myself. I'm like, but you know, we all are susceptible to that, aren't we? Because we're human, okay? And the same thing applies to us spiritually. We all are susceptible to temptations and things that Satan would try to plant seed thoughts in our minds that don't belong there. And he wants to influence us and train us in a certain way to think a certain way that we might eventually follow those thoughts. You know, it brings up, I want to emphasize this point. There are things that Satan is desiring to convince us that we can't get from where we are at today to where we want to be in the future. Let me rephrase that. The enemy of our souls wants to hinder us from gaining the victories and the battles of our mind and our hearts today. And he's going to see to it, he's going to send all kinds of hindrances and distractions to get our minds off track, okay, and disillusioned or, just truly not paying attention to where we'll immediately think this or think that and then do this and do that. And before we know it, we're way off track somewhere. But again, the enemy of our souls is trying to convince us of these things, to train our minds, planting seeds of doubt or confusion. And then again, as I mentioned earlier, then he'll plant a perfect temptation right beside it, so to speak. And it may not be within minutes or hours. It may be days, weeks, months, years later. Who knows how long it's going to... You know, Satan is patient. Sad to say. But he is. He'll work a lifetime to crush a soul and to kill a soul. But on the flip side of that, God will also work a lifetime to save a soul. And so we have two powerful entities over here, one on each side, designed to train and to teach and to speak to us and to ultimately lead us to their side, if we can say it that way. Okay? We have a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Okay? But thinking of the scripture, you remember the scripture says he's walking about seeking whom he may devour? And sometimes that seems a little graphic. So let's just rephrase that a little bit. It's still true, all right? And I still said it, and it's still true. But you could say Satan would like to knock the edge off of that a little bit where it doesn't sound as graphic, you know? And he would say, I just want to sit down and talk with you a little bit. You understand? I just want to talk and reason with you a little bit. And he'll just leave it at that. And maybe he'll just table that. And he's like, we'll come back to it later, whenever you're ready. And maybe you're not ready for a long time, but sometime later he plants another little seed thought, and then you remember the previous conversation, and then you pick that up, and then he starts working with that. He's like, well, are you ready to talk about it now? Okay, let's talk about it a little bit. And he'll plant some more seeds, okay? But the fact of the matter is, I want us to understand something here tonight. We are dealing with the enemy of our souls, as the scripture says, in John 8th chapter, he's a liar and the father of them. He's the father of all lies. Okay? So Satan's not going to come out and maybe tell you an outright lie, but he'll tell you all these half-truths. Again, planting these little seeds of doubt and confusion about your abilities, God's abilities, and so on, other people, whatever it is, okay? It's a battle of the mind. Just to cause a little bit of disruption of the path that you're wholly following the Lord and everything's going great, and then he puts little kinks here and there and little speed bumps and a little questions, little doubts. Okay? And he may be trying to speak to us and say, you know, you just can't do it. You just can't. You can't serve the Lord. Or, you know, you don't deserve the blessings of the Lord. Because you've been so bad and you've done this and you've done that and you can't forgive yourself and got that, you know, can God really forgive you with that? These are things that Satan would whisper to us, okay? At the little dinner table, so to speak, a casual little dining session there, and he's just kind of he's not right in your face just trying to, but no, just kind of casually come and go. Yeah. And then it may be, he may whisper things to us that, not only do you not deserve it, you're not good enough. You know, you never can attain such and such because of your family, your background, or your history, or whatever the case is, or your weaknesses. Or he may tell you this. You see, again, these are all thoughts that Satan is trying to plant and train your mind to believe the lies, okay? He may tell you this, well, if you try again, you know what? You're just going to fail again, like you always have. Is that a truth? That if we try again, we will fail again? What does the scripture say? With God, all things are possible. All right, so we can use that against Satan. But you know, another thing that Satan would love to do is to get us to listen to our fears. And oh, are there a lot of fears? Besides just the fear of failure, but all kinds of fears. The devil loves playing with those fears, just planting those little seeds here and there and trying to train us to listen to our fears rather than listening to God and His Word and the power that He can give us. Well, I have a scripture in Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, in verse 7. And this brings out a truth that the Lord's help, I want to bring out a few times here tonight. Proverbs 23 and 7. Says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." You realize what you're actually thinking about, you will eventually act upon it. Understand what we're saying here. You're going to act upon it one way or the other. Okay? You're going to choose to do it or choose not to do it. Okay? That's the fact. You have the, and you know, all of us have had, whether it's good intentions of maybe learning a musical instrument or learning to do this or some type of little hobby or all these things. And you know what's funny is I've lived life long enough and I've worked with different guys that they've talked about doing certain things for years. I'm thinking, are they ever going to do, you know, they keep talking about it. They're going to go buy this or they're going to go participate in this. They're going to go do that or whatever. But they're always talking about it. I'm like, yeah, whatever. And then you know what? Then one day, all of a sudden, they show up and they're driving that new vehicle they've been talking about. Or they finished remodeling or whatever project they've been talking about and they finally did it. Or they went and visited a certain individual or a certain location or whatever, but they've been talking about it and thinking about it for a long time, and then ultimately they did it. But you know, the other part is just as true. Let me read this again. "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So the other side of that, and I want to get down to, this is where the rubber meets the road. When it comes down to things that you and I, in serving the Lord, and maybe God has planted some seeds of truth in us that He's calling for us to do certain things or to not do certain things, and we think about it maybe for days, weeks, months, years. You know, the longer we think about it, and sometimes it's like, oh, it's almost impossible. There's no way I can do it. And then eventually, the longer you think about it that way, more than likely, that's going to be the end result, that you don't do it. And you think the other way, and you think more positively about it. You think, oh yeah, I think I can. And you start making plans or training yourself that direction and talking about other people and inquiring, asking questions, and ultimately you end up doing it. So the fact of the matter is, it starts in the mind. It's a battle of the mind. And so Satan knows if he can plant his little seeds and start training us to listen to him and to listen to his lies, he can then affect us in a way where it will hinder the work of the Lord. It'll hinder our progress and our victories in the battles of life with the Lord. Now I want to turn to read a familiar set of scriptures in Numbers, the 13th chapter. And this is when Moses sent the spies to spy out the land of Canaan, the promised land. You all remember this story, and I'm not going to read all the scriptures here, but you can read this whole story in Numbers, the 13th chapter, and you can start at verse 26 and read on down where the spies went out and they found this land. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was amazing. It was beautiful. It was lush and green, and it was just the fruit and everything they found there. It was like, oh wow, yeah, we want to go. This is awesome. This is great. But there was a problem. There were giants in the land. So 10 of the 12 spies came back and said, we can't do this, guys. There's no way. Because we want to go, but we can't. Because there's giants here. So let's read what they said here. In verse 30, so there's two men that had a different opinion, Caleb and Joshua. And notice what Caleb said, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Oh, I love that. You know, and you think about this, Caleb and Joshua obviously have been feeding their mind something different than the other ten. They've been listening to some other voices. They weren't listening to Satan, were they? They were listening to God. They were listening to maybe what some of their other relatives and friends, what Moses were saying about how God had delivered them out of Egypt and all the miracles that took place. They were listening to another voice. They were being trained by another entity, and that was God. But these other ten, verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Notice verse 33. And there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. That was their own perception of themselves. We are so small. We're like little grasshoppers. And there's these giants. It's impossible. We can defeat them. But you know, they didn't stop there. They went on and said something else. And so we were in their sight. Really? So here's the question. Did they talk with these giants? Did they really get their perspective and say, hey guys, what do you think about us? No. No, they got their information from Satan himself. It wasn't from God. And it wasn't from the giants. They weren't knocking on the giants' door and saying, hey guys, what do you think about us? What do we look like? How big are we? How small are we? What do you think? No, they didn't do that. They were listening to another voice. They were listening to their inner fears, and Satan was using those fears to convince them, no, you cannot. There's absolutely no way. It's impossible. These guys are twice your size. And plus, these are warriors. You're not warriors. You've been slaves for all these years. How can you compete with that? Oh, but there's a difference maker. And that is the Lord our God. Because He was feeding Caleb and Joshua a different message. He was training their mind in a different way. And they were receiving that. And by faith, they were accepting that and say, yes, we are well able to go possess it. Not just conquer them and go beat them, but we can take the land from them and use the land. Possess it. That's power. Well, but these other ten, sadly, it was for their own detriment. They believed a lie from Satan himself. Because Satan had been talking to them, and they were listening. And they continued to think about it. And no doubt, when they were walking back to camp, they were probably speaking one to another about it. And you know what? I guarantee you, Caleb and Joshua were talking about it too. The ten versus the two. And Caleb and Joshua, I dare say, they were also talking to God. Say, Lord, I know we can do this. Don't you think, Caleb? Yeah. And Joshua said, yeah, we can, Joshua. Yeah, they were just back and forth and saying, Lord, we know, we remember what you did for us in Egypt. Yeah. We know you can take it. That was a well-trained Egyptian army you disposed of in the Red Sea. So we know you can take care of these giants. You can just annihilate, you can just do whatever with them. That's what Joshua and Caleb are thinking. But all these other ten spies, they were believing something else. They've been listening to another message. They allowed their minds to be trained down another channel. And again, to their own detriment. Because for the next 40 years, they were the ones that wandered around in the wilderness and died and never saw the promised land. The land that God was going to give them. Right then, if they so chose. But you know, I love the other side of the story. Joshua and Caleb, you know, they wandered around for 40 years too. But you know, they had a different ending to their story. They were able to go and conquer, help conquer and lead the charge, Joshua ultimately, in the land of Canaan, conquering Jericho and all these other cities after that. And then who was it? Was it Caleb, I believe, that he was 80 or 90 some years old? He said, give me this mountain. Absolutely. He's like, he promised it, and I'm going to go get it. He was listening to another voice, dear ones. And it wasn't by his own might. It was his faith and confidence was in God. That's the voice he was listening to, not his own inner voice of fears and doubt and all those things that Satan was trying to plant there. Well, I want to continue on. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Folks, this is what we have to do. This is when the battle of the mind, it's not for the faint of heart. If you're going to win, and by God's grace and strength we can. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, familiar scriptures here. We'll start with verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Let's get a hold of this. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's saying a mouthful. But you know what this is saying? With God, all things are possible. These strongholds, these imaginations, these things that Satan has blown up in your mind as being these giants that we're never going to overcome, we're never going to defeat them, never going to get the victory. That's what Satan would tell you. But we have a choice to listen to what he says or to brush it off. Now someone said it this way. I've heard this saying said a few different ways. You can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you can sure keep him from building a nest on your head. Understand that thought when it comes to the spiritual battle of our mind. Satan is going to bring all kinds of thoughts to our minds, and just because he brings them to our minds does not mean we have committed that sin or we've gone down another path and we've turned our back on the Lord. He's just presented it and he's tempting us with those thoughts. That doesn't mean we've partaken of them and we've imbibed those thoughts and we've petted those things and we've asked questions and we've interacted and had that conversation at the dining table, so to speak, with Satan. No. It just means he's presented those thoughts. But by the grace of God, we can shoo those thoughts away and say, hey, you're not building any nest on my head. No, Satan, I'm not going to have it. But that means we have to take action, dear ones. That's why I said living a Christian life and a godly life is not for the faint of heart. It's not for the one that goes, I don't feel like it today. Well, guess what? You probably won't make it today then either. And you probably won't make it the next day. And you know what? You might not ever make it. But when you make up your mind saying, Lord, I'm tired of Satan bringing these thoughts to my mind. First of all, it starts with a personal responsibility and accountability. Because, you know, every single one of us have thoughts going through our minds right now. I can start over here with Brother Danny, and we just go around the room. But I can't tell what his thoughts are. He knows what they are. You know what thoughts are going through your mind. You're like, why is he pointing at me? Okay. That's probably, I hope he doesn't point at me. All right. You know, I have thoughts going through my mind too. But when we leave these grounds, and when this revival is over, because see, here's the deal. We come to these worship services because we need help in our souls. And again, it doesn't matter how long or we've been saved or sanctified, we all need the Lord. And if you're unsaved, you need the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, Satan is going to battle your mind not only in this little revival, but when you go home tonight. And when you go home Monday from this meeting, it's just like Monarch. I mean, we kind of say the same things after Monarch. But you know, the deal is, Satan, he never rests. He may be patient, he may kind of take his time, but he's never resting. He's always doing something. Pushing buttons, planting seeds, pulling levers over here, pulling trapdoors over there. Satan's busy all the time. So, but it's the personal responsibility and account. We are responsible for our own thoughts that we harbor or that we release, okay? You can't do them for me and I can't do them for you. The scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, okay? So, that's the first thing to realize. It's a personal responsibility. But now I want to analyze a few other things. Because just because we realize, okay, this is a battle of our mind, then no more can we just sit around and let these little free-floating ideas and imaginations just kind of bounce around our head all the time and just sit around daydream all the time. You can't do that either. You got to do something about the thoughts to come to your mind. So the first thing you have to do is identify what the thought is exactly and where did it come from? Who's the author of this thought? Okay. Now I want to go back to that little story when I was driving home and I saw that little burn spot. Who was the author of that story? Or who was the author of, that thought that it was a burn spot on the side of the road? Who was the author of that? Where'd that thought come from? Can you guys tell me? In a literal sense. Exactly. From my conversation. I could say it was the person I was talking to on the phone. They coupled with my mind and everything else that was going on, it was a conglomeration, all right, of the thought that was presented to me that that has to be a burned out spot on the side of the road. I'm like, wow, I'm sure glad they put it out before it caught this field right next to it and those woods right next to that. And it could have just went, because it's wide open flat country out there. That's where my mind was going. I'm like, wow, I'm glad they caught that. Someone flipped that little cigarette, you know, that's just what you're thinking. And again, all that happens in milliseconds. But I realized quickly, aha, I know where that thought came from. Dear ones, we have to do the same. When Satan presents these temptations and these thoughts of taking us down a whole nother path, just like these 10 spies are saying, nope, you can't do it, it's impossible, there's no way. It's like, wait. Who would tell me that? Would God tell me there's no way I could gain the victory here? Or would Satan tell me that? Now that sounds very elementary, okay? But I want to tell us something. This is real life. All of us battle this because sometimes we want the other to be true or to be false. You see what I'm saying? We'll kind of go back and forth. Well, because if I do this, then it might affect that. Then I can't do this and then this. And our minds go all kinds of different directions, don't they? Because it affects just so many things and it seems really complex. But when we really analyze it, say, does this come from Satan or from the Lord? We have to simplify it like that. Okay? So identify where the thought came from, who is the author of it, and what that thought is. Then the second thing we have to do is take that thought and measure it against God's holy word. How does it line up with God's holy word? Because His word is truth, and it does not change. And His word meets every single generation and time era that we've lived in. It doesn't matter. Satan will come and he tempted people in the scriptures, just like he tempts us, all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden, to eat, partake of that fruit. You know, Satan will use the same type of temptations with us. We're not exempt from it. It doesn't matter how modern and technologically we become. Satan will work the same way. And we have to be willing to identify and be honest with ourselves and be accountable to ourselves and to the Lord, saying, Lord, where did this thought come from? And does it line up to your scriptures of what you teach in your word, of what is right and true and holy? Then here's the other thing we have to do. Because in this scripture we just read, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity. Every thought. That's what I talk about here at the last. Bring that thought into captivity. Bind it up. Okay? Do something with it. Take action. Don't just kind of let it go like, well, we'll see where this thought ends up. Be careful. You let your mind wander and it might just end up more than likely it's going to end up in a bad spot. We'll just put it that way. Lord, help us. Do we harness? Do we ask the Lord, Lord, give me discernment. Lord, give me the willpower. Lord, help me to keep my mind pure. Lord, help me to focus on You. Help me to listen to You. And Lord, if these thoughts aren't from You, help me to know how to get rid of them. Help me know how to bind them and cast them out. So, how do you bind them and cast them out? It says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We could say, choke it out. Bind it up. Because here's the fact of the matter. If you don't bind the thought up, it's going to bind you. Okay? Think about that. That's what happened to those 10 spies. The thoughts of fear, of facing those giants saying, there's no way we can do this, guys. And Satan's going, yeah, you're right. I mean, of course you can't. Look how big they are. They're trained military. It's a trained military army. These giants and their weapons, they're massive and they're sharp. And you have just these little spindly little swords and shields and spears. And that's what they were looking at. See, Satan, he was being truthful with them. He's showing them their physical weapons. But Satan was telling them a half-truth. He wasn't reminding them of the power of God. That's the ultimate power they should be depending on. Not these carnal weapons, you see. But it's a spiritual warfare, dear ones. That's the battle of the mind here. It's a spiritual warfare. So to think about binding up these things, it says, to the obedience, I want to read this again, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, when you're binding something, and we'll use this in the case of binding the thoughts, bringing to obedience of Christ. You know, one of the most powerful things we can do when we don't know what else to say, just saying the name of Jesus, there is power in that name, dear ones. You know, we sing a song. In fact, if you don't mind, if we can just sing a chorus of that. In the name of Jesus, Satan has to flee. Can we sing a chorus of that real quick?
In the name of Jesus, we have a
Yes, thank you. In the name of Jesus. You know, that's the best place to start. When we're battling our mind and we're so confused and disoriented. We don't know which way to go. And we're weary. We've been fighting with it for all day. We're like, oh, Lord, Jesus, can you help me? You know, He loves to hear that, His name called out like that. And of course He wants to help us. And of course He can help us and He will help us. But we have to take the time to call out on His name. To help bind up those thoughts. And then here's another thing. As I mentioned earlier, don't give the devil time, okay? Don't be willing to sit down at the dinner table and just have a little chat with him. Say, oh, let's talk about this for a little bit and kind of toy with these ideas. You can't do that. You can't get on the devil's territory and play games with him, folks. You have to flee from those things. Run the opposite direction, okay? So you have to take action, all right? And then speaking of binding again, the imaginations and the thoughts that are damaging to us. You know, another thing, another tool, and this goes in a lot of different directions. We call on the name of Jesus and we're resisting the Satan and we're not willing to sit down and talk with him. Then another thing we can do to kind of go on offense is then start filling your mind with good thoughts. All right. Such as quoting scriptures or stories in the Bible. Hey, why not talk about the Joshua and Caleb? What a perfect, or David and Goliath, you know, the victory that God gave David and all the other stories, thinking about the stories in the scriptures. And then, you know, another thing is songs. We just got through singing a song.
Yeah.
You know how many times I've sang that chorus just this year?
Yeah.
This year, 2020,
yes.
I've heard that song many times. I've sang that song more times this year than I ever have. Because sometimes in the battle of our minds, it's like, I don't know what to do, Lord. I got so many things going on here and I don't know what to do next. Because we get confused and we start listening to different things. Oh, well, no, I don't want to go down that path. And the devil presents them. Nope, not going to build a nest there. And you just keep, oh, then I can start singing a song that I know by heart. And I may even butcher some of the words, but I'm still singing from the heart because I know what the meaning of that song is. And it's based on the scripture, so it's extra power. And then sometimes the name Jesus comes like, oh, wow, yeah, Jesus, yeah, okay, that's great. It's a good reminder of who's going to be there for us because he's winnowed the path. And he's conquered Satan once and for all. And he has the same victory available to you and I. And what he wants to do, when we start focusing on using his scriptures and these songs and sometimes even repeating, you know, there's been certain testimonies I've heard of saints give throughout the years that I've repeated those testimonies in my mind multiple times, sometimes just little snippets of it. But they've been an inspiration to me throughout the years. And sometimes I'll pull those out and say, you know what? I remember what God did for so and so. Lord, you can do it for me too. Yes, he can. But again, we have to ask. We have to inquire. We have to seek the Lord. All right? This doesn't just come, but just kind of a, you just wake up one morning and it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to serve the Lord today. I'm going to defeat the devil. And he's not going to get any gain any ground on me. I'm going to resist all his evil thoughts and like, and amen. You know, just going through the day and no, it doesn't happen that way. It's throughout the day. Satan's there just continually pestering. You know, have you ever, you guys remember when you were young, you know, and you had maybe a cousin or a friend or a little brother, a little sister, they were just always a little pest. Man, we won't go so far to call him a bully, but just a pest. You know, Satan's the same way. Just always just picking here and there and just doing little things just to try to irritate you. And to get you on edge. And to get you thinking all these negative things and maybe get little attitudes here or there and just get you all stressed out or whatever the case is. You know, God has a remedy for that. Just call on him in prayer. And in the name of Jesus, start singing those songs, quoting those scriptures, just calling on the name of the Lord. Just keep going. Say, Lord, I need something here. But in conclusion of all of this, God has our best interests in mind. And I want to conclude with this scripture in Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. We all know this scripture. In Jeremiah 29, you see, God had some wonderful plans for the children of Israel to come and possess the land of Canaan, the promised land. He had it all set up for them. Literally, they could go in. If they would have conquered them right away, they had these cities, they had the gardens, the fields plowed in, everything was lush and green, everything was set up for them to take over immediately and start enjoying life. But Satan cheated them out of something. A big majority of them, for 40 years there, and the ones that didn't believe, they died, the ones under 20 survived, but only Joshua and Caleb made it over. You see, God had some amazing plans for their lives. And it was a plan of victory. And it was a plan to defeat Satan. And it was a plan to promote his movement of God's people on the earth and to establish his people. But it had to be delayed for 40 years. But God was patient. But I'm going to read this scripture, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know, dear ones, in this little meeting here, we're going to have the next couple of days, God has an expected end. God has some victories for you and some battles you've been dealing with. Whether it's battles in your mind or whatever it is, whatever you've been battling with, God has the victory available for you. God has the promised land, everything prepared and set up for you. All you have to do is believe. And in order to believe, You have to push out all the seeds of doubt and unbelief that Satan has been planting, trying to confuse you, trying to get you all different directions. And God's saying, that's not me. That's not how my thoughts of you are of peace. See, let me read this again. I have thoughts of peace and not of evil, a great calmness and assurance. He's going to start feeding us those promises that He's given us in His words. And maybe those individual specific promises He's given you. But sometimes we get weary in the way thinking, I've tried so many times. And then we start believing what Satan's telling us. Yeah, you've tried so many times and you failed and you're just going to fail again. That's what Satan's going to tell you. Dear ones, that's a battle of the mind. Don't believe it. That's the devil. He's a liar and he's the father of them. Don't believe it, dear, tonight. But God has the victory available for you and I. And in this meeting, it's up to you to put in for what you need. No one else can pray your prayer of faith. No one else can battle your battles of the mind for you. You have to make up your mind on your own. But you know there's someone that's going to walk beside you. And that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because He knows what it's like. He said He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to battle in the mind. You remember when He was tempted the 40 days out there in the wilderness, and yet He passed the test. And then He went on later, and hanging on the cross on the day of crucifixion, He was tempted yet again to give up. But yet He prayed, not my will, but thine be done. And He finished. All right. He finished the race. He finished the course. He finished it with victory to prove to you and I that yes, we too can finish our race and our course with victory as well. We too can inherit the promised land, the land God has promised to give you. Whatever victory you need in your life tonight, whatever you're battling with, God's saying, I have it here for you, child, but you got to believe. And you got to bind up. Take captive all those thoughts that Satan's been giving you and bind them up in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, here they are. I'm done with them. I want you, Lord. I want to be trained by you. I want to listen to you. What message do you have for me? What's His message? It's a message of peace. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. To give you the victory that you and I need in the battles of our minds. You pray for me. I'll be faithful to the Lord.